Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Well, it's a fine-looking bunch tonight. Glory to God. Glad you came out. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here. You know, I heard my wife saying that she knows that I prepare, you know, and I heard her talking about that. But I've been, you know, before the Lord all day, and there's been a lot of things that he's been dealing with me on today, a lot of things that we got into this afternoon. Amen. And so I'm excited to bring some of that tonight. Praise the Lord. I know I'm not bringing all of it because you just can't get all of it in one swoop. Amen. It's going to take us probably a couple times to hit this, but I believe God's doing something good here. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's doing good things in these churches. I'm so thankful that I'm part of a church. Glory to God that teaches the Word, that keeps us in the Word, that keeps us grounded. You know, it's God's Word that always keeps us going and keeps us in the right place at the right time. Amen. Of course, His Spirit as well, but His Spirit always works in conjunction with the Word. And you said, well, Pastor Jeff, you say that so much. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I say that a lot, and I'm going to continue to say it a lot because we need to know it. We need to have it in us, and we need to remind ourselves of it all the time. Amen. But God's got great things for us. Praise the Lord. Great and wonderful things. You know, I'm excited for, you know, God spoke, He's spoken so many things to me over the years, and I'm just so thankful that I get to partake in those things. You know, I was telling my wife again today, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me, of course, we know about a lot on peace, and I preached a lot, several messages on that. And I just can't stress that enough in our lives. We have to walk in peace. We have to practice peace. We have to get into that place where we live in peace. And even today, as I was in peace and entering peace, glory to God, you know, I dozed off for a minute, praise the Lord, and woke up with speaking something right out of my spirit, amen, and we're going to get some of that tonight, but glory to God, I'm excited for what God has for us, hallelujah. Peace is so important. Christians, we got to walk in it. We choose to walk in it. We decide whether or not we're going to walk in it, but we've got to walk in it, because if we don't walk in peace, we can't get the fullness of what God has for us, amen. You thought that you were after peace just to make things better, but God was after peace all along for you too. Amen? Praise the Lord. In fact, God speaks to us through peace. We know that, right? And tonight I'm not even preaching about peace, but that's free, no charge. Amen? Glory to God. Tonight's message is called Reflecting God's Glory, Part 1. Praise the Lord. Or as they say in France, Part 1. Praise the Lord. Part 1, Reflecting God's Glory. Tonight we're going to start going down a road of learning about God's glory. Amen. You know, this is a word that we see a lot in Scripture. We hear a lot in churches. Glory to God. I'm not so sure we always get it. Amen. I'm not so sure that we always fully understand what it is. And part of the reason I say that is because I know I didn't. You know, as I was seeking the Lord, and there was so much that was being drawn into this concept of God's glory today. And as I was, there was so much there. And I mean, it was bombarding me so fast that I couldn't even make sense of it because there was so much of it. Amen. But, you know, I did what I know to do, and I just rest and get in that place of peace. And as I did, the Lord sorted some things out. Amen. Because, you know, God knows a lot more than we do. Amen. I said, God knows a lot more than we do. Praise the Lord. And so as we follow Him, you know, sometimes there's a lot of information that can be given quite quickly. Amen. Sometimes I apologize when I've come out of a sermon and I've had the anointing on me and I have a meeting with somebody. I have to apologize to them because I talk to real fast and I have a lot of stuff that comes out of me. And that's because there's a lot of stuff in me. Amen. And when that anointing's on us. But God's got more of it. Amen. He just gives us a little bit of it. But tonight we're going to get starting to talk about some of God's glory and the effect of it. But we have to understand that we are to be reflections of God's glory. Amen. And I want to start just by saying that. Amen. So tonight's message is for those who want more of God. And I'm serious. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just saying, all right, let's arbitrarily raise our hands and say, I want more of God. No, this message is for people who really want more of God, who desire, who have had enough of, you know, sometimes you get in life to a place where you just had enough of the same old, you've had enough of just doing the things that you always done, and you just want something different, amen? And so tonight's message is really about that. It's about us getting to that place where we are desiring things that are beyond our needs, are beyond our desires, our wants, our natural wants, you know, just things that we want. I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. I'm not saying that we can't want to be healed. Of course, we should want to be healed. But at some point, we have to stop focusing on the things that we need, the things that we desire, and we need to focus on what God has for us, amen? We need to focus on His plan, because His plan isn't just about a shopping trip, amen? Now, shopping trips are fine. Shopping trips are good, and in context, we can do them, and we can enjoy them, and as a Christian, a child of God, you should enjoy nice things. You should enjoy nice clothes, nice houses, nice cars, all that stuff. But dear children, we got to get over this thing that we're constantly looking for just our needs met. And what I mean by that is we got to get to that place of trusting God, knowing that the needs are already met. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what's happening. You have to know some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is not not those who want more from God, but more of God. Amen. And that's very important that we understand that. Because the key to everything we're going to be talking about probably in the next few Tuesday services is about getting into that place of God that you can't get to when you're focused on your own thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. We should be a reflection of God's glory. The purpose of the glory upon us is to reflect who the Father is. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. And again, we're not going to get into all of this today. So this may not completely make full sense today. Amen. But we understand that we are to be a reflection of God's glory. I struggled with that word a little bit. It's like, what exactly is God's glory? And really, if you look it up, one word that describes it probably the best, the glory of God is magnificence. Amen? It's magnificence. And I love that. And before I go too much further, I just wanted to share this scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, we've read that scripture a lot. We've looked at it a lot of times. We've talked about it, you know, and I think we tend to pass over it. But that's an important thing. When we understand how important the temple was to God, when you understand, when you do research, when you study Old Testament history and stuff, you see where how important God was, you know, His details were in the temple. Everything that was important to Him was in the temple. And of course, in the temple, we understand, is where the Holy of Holies was. And that was the place that stored the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. Amen. And the presence of God was what kept things from rotting. It kept things fresh and refreshed. Amen. But how many know that when Jesus died on the cross, that veil to the Holy of Holies was torn in two, and it was symbolic, and the Holy Spirit came out of that box and came to reside on the inside of us. We are the temple. We are the very temple of God. That tells us something. Now, the temple of God back in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was coated in gold. Do you know that? There was all kinds of jewels and gems and everything. That it was opulent. It was just beautiful. It was magnificent. Amen? What we would consider magnificence, that was what the temple was. And, of course, we were told that that was a shadow of things to come, that was just an example. You know, we see those, what we call types and shadows in Scripture. God will do something on earth that is a reflection of something greater or a reflection of something that He's going to do later on. Amen? Because that's how God works. He works in order and He works methodically. Praise the Lord. But so we became the temple of God. We became the holding cell for the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty, pretty awesome thing. A lot of Christians, if they really realize this, they would do things a lot differently. They'd treat their bodies a little bit differently. Amen? Praise the Lord. They wouldn't be so quick to go out in the world and do things that they're quick to do because they understand this. But see, this kind of, these concepts, again, these are things that have been lost on the church. You know, people are not glorifying God in their bodies. They're not glorifying God with their lives. They're just out there just trying to live. And listen, even if you've been struggling in the world and you haven't even been trying to get rich, you've just been struggling through life. Listen, that's not glorifying God. It does not glorify God when His people struggle. We know that because Scripture tells us that. So if you live paycheck to paycheck, if you can barely get up in the morning because of sickness or something that's in your body, you have to understand that does not glorify God and you should not accept it. Praise the Lord. It's not what God has for us. Praise the Lord. If you get to know His presence, you will get to know His glory. Praise the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about the Hope Diamond when I was preparing this. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hope Diamond, but it's that gigantic diamond they have on display at the one of the Smithsonian's, amen, in Washington, D.C., and it's a real famous diamond, very beautiful. And you know, it's this gigantic diamond, and they have it cut just so and everything, and they got it on display in this case. It's in a case all by itself. It's in the middle of a room. And you know, if you ever go to see it, you can't even get close to it because there's so many people just there looking at it. They're just looking at its magnificence. That's what the glory of God is, amen, only much better. Praise the Lord. God's glory makes the Hope Diamond look like a piece of coal. Amen. And you have to understand that. But we, again, to reiterate this, we are to be a reflection of God's glory. Amen. And what do we know about reflection? Generally, reflections are pretty accurate, right? We look in reflections every day. We want to see the accuracy of what's going on. Amen. You can feel like something is all in place, but you look at it and you say, "Yeah, maybe it's not quite so in place, or maybe I need to get a haircut, or I need to get something moved, or tucked, or nipped, or whatever." You know what I mean? You know, people look at these things and they all the time. And you know, I feel pretty much the same as I did in the sense that my face feels the same as it did when as when I was 18 years old. But I look in the mirror and I don't see the same face that I saw when I was 18 years old. Amen. It is a reflection of truth, amen? And so we understand we need to understand that we are to be a reflection of God's magnificence, who God is, who He truly is, what He desires for mankind. We should be reflecting this in our daily lives because that is what draws people to Him. It is that reflection. You know, the thing that drew me in when I started coming to Family Church was I saw faith for the first time in my life. I started understanding what true faith really is. I saw people who were hungry for God, and I saw the Spirit of God move, and these things drew me in. This is the glory that I started experiencing, amen? Now, we've experienced it in part. We've had it in part. We've had it here in Mayville in part. But I'm going to tell you, we haven't even tapped into all God has for us. God has so much more for us, and we're just scratching the surface right now. But we need to desire to do it. You know, you know, there's so much there's so much in life, again, that tries to distract us and pull us away from the things that God has for us. But we need to focus on His glory. I'm going to tell you, in His glory, in His presence, that's where all the answers are. That's where everything we need is. See, the devil has got a lot of people confused. The devil has got a lot of people really just chasing their tails. Yeah. Amen? There's a lot of people just running around in circles. And you think about it. Amen? You know that thing that you got that you're caught up in. You know what I mean? That thing that you're caught up in? Whatever that thing is, you came to God, that you've been coming to God and you want fixed, and the thing that drew you to Him in the first place, it's like, I need something more. You know, those things. Maybe it's a bunch of things. With me, it was a whole lot of things, amen. But the devil will have us chasing our tails with trial. You understand that? He will have us chasing, running in circles. Just, you know, you see a dog. You ever look at a dog out there chasing its tail and you think, man, how foolish is that? What a foolish animal. Just run around. And you can never get anywhere, is it? Praise the Lord. But that's the same thing that Christians are doing. We are having churches that we have to convince people that God is just good. And really in the true nature of what good means. Like so many people, they don't understand what good really is, or they don't understand what God is good even means. They just don't get it, and we need to get to that place where we understand it, where it's not just that we understand it, but we show it through our everyday lives, where it just flows out of us. Amen. Everything that God has called us to do, we can walk into, and we should walk into. We got to stop chasing our tails, because chasing our tails will never get us to the glory of God. Chasing our tails will keep us in the same spot over and over and over again. Listen, you know, if there's something in your life, I'm gonna be so bold to say it like this. If there's something that's been tripping you up in your life, or something that you've been striving for in your life that you just haven't got to, you need to just get over it. I said you need to just get over it. You need to start ignoring it. You need to stop giving it so much attention. Because the fact that you're giving it so much attention shows that you don't have faith enough to get past it. And the only way you're going to get past it is by giving it some faith, amen? And so you got to start ignoring it. When the devil brings things, you know, listen, the devil's going to bark. He's going to bring things at you. Hallelujah. You know, I love, I think it was Pastor Michael said that, you know, the train doesn't stop for every barking dog, does it? The train doesn't, the train will go by and they'll keep going. Dogs will bark, but the train, you know, when was the last time you had a dog run out on the, you're driving down the road and country road and a dog runs out, starts barking and you stop. The dog doesn't stop you. I mean, you might stop so you don't hit it, but you know what I mean? If it's on the side of you or something like that, it don't stop you. But see, that's all the devil does. He hasn't really got anything on us. Yeah. Jesus has promised us everything. But see, we let our reality, I said we let our reality become what the devil tells us. Yeah. He tells you you're sick, so you believe you're sick, and that's just what it is. And you just live in sickness. But that's not what God has told you to do. He tells you you're poor, and so you just live in poverty. Praise the Lord. That's what people do. They just live there. They don't ever, they tell you you're worthless. And so you live in worthlessness. You never rise above it because you stay there. Not because God has put you there. Not because Jesus died so you would stay there. But God has given you all the power to rise above all these things. There is nothing that should keep us down. And the only things that keep us down are the things that we allow it. We're waiting for the answer. And the whole time the answer is in the Word. I don't know how many times or how many ways I can say this to get it across. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. We got to ignore it. We got to stop thinking about it. We got to say, you know what? This is enough. This is taking enough of my time. It's taking enough of my life. Because that's what your time is, right? Yes. Your time is your life, isn't it? Yes. Praise the Lord. How fast does a year go by? How fast do years go by? Man, we look at our kids and we think, where did all the years go? They just went by like that. You know something? Any of the trials that we suffered from when they were, or that we suffered through when they were, when Mark was just a little boy, none of that matters now. None of it matters now. But you know how much time I spent on it? You know how much time I spent worried about what we were going to do? No, we need to get to the place where we're in God's glory. And God's glory happens because we choose to go into it. Praise the Lord. Now listen, it takes some things to get there. And God ain't giving it out free. He ain't dumping. You know, the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. Amen? I said it says don't cast your pearls before swine. You know, the fact that the Bible says that, it tells us something about our God. Guess what he ain't going to do? He ain't casting his pearls before swine. People who will trample over it, people who will trample it under, people who just want God because they want what they can get out of him and not what they can do for him or not what they can be connected to, but they just want something from God. God isn't giving them their pearls. That's why the word works with some people and it seems not to with others. It has nothing to do with God not wanting it to. God's word will work for every single man, woman, and child everywhere on this earth. There is no exceptions. Praise the Lord. There is no exceptions. You are not exempt from it. Praise the Lord. But we need to walk in it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know what you're waiting for. We need to get some scripture here. So we're going to go to a very pertinent scripture to start us off. Because this is the beginning of where God's glory starts. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. This will not be unfamiliar to you. And that's okay, because whenever something gets familiar to us, it becomes useless. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, I got to get there too. Matthew 5, verse 6. Praise the Lord. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Now, this is not talking about people who lack. This is not talking about people who go without. That's not what it means. It does not mean hunger and thirst like somebody who hungers because they can't afford something. It does not talking about somebody who thirsts because they can't buy a drink or they can't find water. This is talking about those who hunger for something. They want it. They want it so bad that they can't live without it, that they're after it. Amen? We have to understand that about the scripture. You know, we have to understand that that's what God desires from us. He desires us to desire him. Amen? Amen. But the Bible promises us that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the right way of thinking or God's way of thinking. Amen? Those who, and this is what we need to do. We need to get to stop. We need to stop thinking like we always thought, and we need to start thinking the way God thinks. Amen? We need to desire to think that way. God, help me to think the way you think. Help me to think your thoughts. You know, the Bible says, I can't remember exactly where it is, maybe Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. Hallelujah. What's that telling us? Hunger and desire something else. Yeah. It means a thirst for something else. Amen? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. We don't want our thoughts. Our thoughts don't help us. Our thoughts don't get us there. Our thoughts are why we chase our tail. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be chasing our tail anymore. You know, when I started pastoring, there was a lot of in me that just couldn't see me as a pastor. There was a lot in me that just couldn't accept that God would use me, that God wanted to use me, that it was possible that God could even use me. There was a lot of that in me. Amen. I had to get over that. You know, there's times when it tries to come up, but by and large, I'm going to tell you the truth. I know my place as a pastor. I stand in the office of the pastor. Praise God. I do it here in Mayville. I do it there in Corey, and I minister God's word wherever else I'm called to. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that I do so from a place of faith. I believe that God has anointed me to do these things. Otherwise, I couldn't stand before you. If I've called you up to lay hands on you at some point, I've done so out of the understanding that God has anointed me to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know it more than the people, than the people that are receiving it. But I had to get to that place where I saw myself in that position. Otherwise, I was pretty much useless as a minister. We have to understand, listen, we don't have to get cocky about it. I don't go around on the street saying, oh, I'm a big pastor. I got two churches. You know, I don't go out there and say, I don't try to exalt myself that way. Praise the Lord. I mean, if somebody asks me, obviously I'll say that I pastor or something like that. I don't fear, or I'm not afraid of it or anything like that. But I don't go out there trying to build my own ministry in the sense of trying to make me something. Amen. I don't get into self-exaltation. And the reason I don't do that is because I never desired that type of thing. Amen. But there's people that do. There's people that try to make themselves, you know, they want to be they want to be high on the hog. They want to be, what's that? They want to be somebody, amen? And I never cared about being somebody. Well, there's good and bad with that. Because if you don't care to be somebody, then you won't go after what God has for you either. But we need to just decide, I just want what God wants for me. I just want to be what God wants for me. Don't put limitations on it by saying, well, I want things to look like this or I want things to look like this. Just want what He wants for you, what He has for you, and you'll be blessed. Amen? Glory to God. But we have to understand, Christians, that we are to exhibit, to exhibit God's glory. We are to be reflections of God's glory. And we can't do that if we don't look at ourselves in the right light. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the first place this glory is going to be found is in the hunger and the thirst for God, for righteousness, for right thinking. That is right thinking, to think I'm a child of God. This is what God has for me. There's a plan for me, and I'm going to find that plan. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to get into it. See, so many people are just trying to figure out who they are, in the sense of what's the purpose of life? I'll tell you what the purpose of life is. I'm going to save you a lot of trouble and a lot of trial right now. The purpose of life is to serve God. Hallelujah. It's that simple. That's exactly what it is. Praise the Lord. The purpose of life is to serve and to find and serve God. It is not to figure out who you are. It is to figure out what He wants you to do. And that's not hard. It's not hard to figure out what He wants you to do. Amen. Because the Bible, first of all, the Bible tells us, and then the Bible tells us He put His Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help remind us of that. Amen. So we need to walk those things out accordingly. Hallelujah. But see, so many people are just trying to figure out life. There's people all the time. You see these new age hippies, amen, that are running around and they're running around in the woods and on campers, and they're just trying to, I'm not against any of that stuff. I love the woods. I love campers, camping, not as much as I used to, but I'm not against it is what I'm saying. Amen. You know, and they're trying to find themselves. Amen. See, that's just the devil having them chase their tail. He's just set people up to chase their tails, and that's what they're doing. They're trying. They think that they're so smart, and God, the whole time, He's told them exactly who they are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we have to think right. That's the biggest thing. We need to hunger and thirst to think right. We need to be like, you know what? It's just not enough for me to think wrong anymore. I just can't handle that anymore. But the righteousness we also know is thinking in line with God's plan and God's will. Amen. And so we need to be after these things as well. Glory to God. Turn with me to John 4. Amen. We're after God's glory. That's the end of all this discussion here today. Praise the Lord. The end is God's glory. That's what we're after. Nothing less, but all that it entails. God's glory is where all your answers are. Amen. In God's glory, there is no lack. In God's glory, there is no sickness. In God's glory, there is no confusion. In God's glory, there is no wondering. There is always answers. Praise the Lord. Everything we need is in God's glory. Do you know that God has designed us in such a way, and He has designed things to work in such a way that we can know everything? I said we can know everything. The Bible says that you know all things. But you got the mind of Christ. Christ knew all things. Amen? He knew people's thoughts. Do you know that? Jesus knew people's thoughts. You can know people's thoughts by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean you're going to sit around reading minds. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? But you can, people, you know, have you ever been deceived by somebody? Because, man, they just seem like they were telling the truth. They just seem, you know what I mean? Well, you can know when that's true and when that's not true. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, everyone say true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, see, some people get a little bit flaky over these scriptures, but it's not hard to understand these scriptures. The Bible tells us right here, it tells us what God is. He's a spirit, right? Amen. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit, or you could say by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. In the spiritual realm, hallelujah, the way the Spirit says to do it, we can understand it that way. But it also says to seek Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth is the easiest way to look at it is the Word. The Word of God is always the truth. And so if we worship according to the Word, see, a lot of people, they're trying to worship. They think that worshiping in spirit and truth is doing some kind of funky dance or doing some kind of, you know, playing some kind of weird music or getting into some kind of, you know, emotional flow. And they're just, you know, they're swaying back and forth. And this is worship. That's not worshiping spirit and truth. Amen. That's worshiping emotions. I'm not saying that that can't happen when you are worshiping God, but that's not what God is seeking. God is not seeking us to be a bunch of flakes. Amen. He's not seeking us to stand around and talk all goofy and to be all these, you know, these uber spiritual people that never really get anything done anyways. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? There'll be people out there that are uber spiritual, never get anything done. If you haven't run across them, I have a bunch that I could point you towards. Amen. Praise the Lord, because that's the way people get. That's not what God is seeking. God is seeking us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Truth is not subjective. Truth is truth. It is not up one day and down the next day. It is not over here and over here. Truth is truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to understand this because our desire for Him has to be based in spirit and in truth. If we want to worship God correctly, you know, there's so many people that are worshiping God through rituals. That's not spirit and that's not truth. God is not, you know, there are plenty of religions right now that will point you towards this ritual or that ritual. That is not worshiping God. And a lot of these New Age churches, it's just another type of ritual. Right. You know what I mean? If they get up and they have a, you know, a 3-hour long worship set playing, you know, Hillsong songs or something like that, then this they think is what's worshiping Him in spirit, and it's not at all what's worshiping Him in spirit. I'm not saying you can't worship God that way, but what I'm saying is that's not what He's talking about, amen? It's just another ritualistic thing that we do, you know? It's another, or that people get into. God wants us to worship Him according to the truth. And part of that is seeking out God and seeking out the truth and finding out how it applies to us, amen? How we walk in those things. I know that I'm going fast and I know that there's a lot here, but see, listen, we're after the ultimate goal of being in God's glory, amen? We're not looking for a feeling. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not looking to be overcome with emotion or something like that. There's times when the Spirit will do that to you, but that's not what we're after. That's good. Praise the Lord. And that's refreshing in the right time and in the right context, you know. You know, it's just like food. You know, God's not against dessert. Amen. He's against you living on dessert. Amen.
because of what it does. One dessert isn't going to hurt your body, but if you live on desserts, it would hurt your body, you know. And it's the same kind of, we have to look at what the truth is on the matter, amen. God is not trying to remove things from us. He's not trying to get us to not enjoy life or to but he's after, what he is after is us to come up to a higher level, to desire and seek things that we never even thought about before. And we're going to see some of this tonight, amen. Praise the Lord. We have to get acquainted with the Spirit and the Word. And I'm going to tell you that the two work in unison together. The Spirit always leads every time. And I'm so glad I was taught this. But the thing that I've found just in my own personal life is the truth of this, that God always leads me according to the Word. Amen. When I have the Spirit speak to me, 99.9% of the time, He's speaking the Word. I said 99.9% of the time, almost every time, He's speaking the Word, or He's relating a principle from the Word. It's something that you can, like, oh, I can go look this up, and it's like, oh, yes, here's that principle, amen? That's how God speaks to me almost all the time. So if you have no Word in you, if you don't know any Word, if you don't have any Word built, if you haven't been listening to the Word, amen, then God ain't going to be able to remind you of anything. Why? Because he speaks to us in spirit and truth, amen? He doesn't speak to us. He's not coming up with new things. You understand that? God isn't like going to come and give you some new book for the Bible. He's not going to give you some new doctrine that didn't exist before. You know, doctrine is teaching. You know what I mean? He's not going to pull something out and say, hey, I'm going to give you some new kind of thing so you can go start a new religion. Amen? Oh, we've seen this from ministers. We see ministers that get disconnected from people, and they've gone off and they start teaching things that aren't truth. Praise the Lord. I had one recently. Oh, glory to God. I ain't going to get into it too much. But we listened to one recently that was like, whoa, wait a minute here. Everything you're saying is like, and the Bible said, well, actually, one of the interesting thing is that the new doctrine they got was supposedly given to them by an angel. But the Bible warns us against that. It says, if we or an angel from heaven speak a doctrine other than what you were given, let them be accursed. Yeah. What does that mean? It means stay away from it. It ain't truth. It's not truth. What's truth? Right here, folks. This is the truth. This is what we have to go on. And if you know, if you understand the excellence of the way, the magnificent way that God has put this together, glory to God. You wouldn't doubt even more. But praise the Lord. But God is not speaking to us. I mean, angels can deliver messages and stuff like that. Angels can help. They're sent to minister to us. But they are not to teach us and to guide us. God doesn't need to do it that way. He gave us His Holy Spirit for that. I said God gave us His Holy Spirit for that. He doesn't need an angel to tell you. Amen? Sometimes, angels can be used. They're used. They're laborers. You know what a laborer is? Praise the Lord. We have ushers. Those are laborers. Amen? They assist the ministry. That's what angels do. They assist the ministry. They may assist in somebody's healing. They may assist in bringing people to you and people into the church or money to you. But angels are not giving you or not teaching you or not doing the Holy Spirit's job. Why do we know that? Because God says, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And if God was the author of confusion, then He would do just that. He would send one thing, well, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Then I might send you an angel. And then I might send you this, and I might send you that. I might send you signs. We don't need signs. We got the Bible. We got a more sure word of prophecy. Amen? Praise the Lord. In fact, any true prophecy will be in line with the Word. Glory to God. God does use prophecy, but He speaks it through the Holy Spirit, through a minister of the gospel, amen? And He told us that He would do just such a thing, amen? But He also told us that He's not going to deliver. You know what? That's how the Mormons, they got their entire doctrine, supposedly, by an angel. And then again, the Bible tells us that angels don't deliver the doctrine. What happens when angels deliver doctrine? You get things like the Mormons, hallelujah. You get cults that are off. And we don't hate Mormons. We want them saved, amen? But we're not going to follow their doctrines of demons either. We have to be we have to rise above that stuff. And so, you know, people, and I mean, man, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, that's the truth. That's the Word. Amen. So this is one of the things that was spoken to me today. The freedom of the Word is to free us from trials, from the trials. Listen to this. The freedom of the word is to free us from the trials of seeking things that he has already provided. Listen to what I'm saying here. The freedom, and this is all based on John 8, 31, 32. We read that every week, right? Yeah. That if we abide in the word, and his word abides in us, that we will be his disciples, amen? And we'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Make us free. How does the truth make us free? A lot of people don't connect that. Well, how does the truth make you free? This is right here. This is the answer. This is what the Spirit said to me today. The freedom of the word is to free us from the trials of seeking things that he has already provided. Yeah. That's an answer to someone here. Yeah. Its purpose is to get us to the place where we get in his presence and seek his glory. See, what the answer is, people are seeking, and you come into church, and understandable, when you come to church, you're seeking more, you're seeking answers because you don't have them. That's fine. Children that come in, you know, people that come in for the first time and they've never heard the word before, that's what they should do. That's why people come. It's those trials, it's those things that happen in life that will draw people to God, and that's fine. The problem lies that Christians stay there. They never graduate from being those ones that come in and just seek answers for their lives instead of just realizing that the answer is already given. See, if you've been going to church for any length of time, you need to know that the answer is already there, that God is the answer, and that seeking the trials is the trap. The word is the freedom from the trials because the word always tells us what's ours, doesn't it not? The word tells us that the Holy Spirit guides us into what's ours. You know, when God said that he's provided, that when you read Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus," we should never question need ever again because the word says so. There's the freedom. But see, what happens is people don't connect to the freedom. They don't say, wait a minute, that scripture's true. And because that scripture's true, I'm just going to live happy where I'm at. This is how Paul lived content wherever he was at. Listen, there'll be times where it'll look like we have less. There'll be times where we don't feel good. I understand that. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you're going through these things. What I'm saying is your focus there is the trial. That's the real trap. And that's where the devil has you. And you haven't graduated into the freedom yet where the word is truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are only supposed to really seek one thing in life. As I go through scripture, there's only one thing that God has ever directed us to seek, and that's him. Never anything else. Do you know that? We are never to seek healing. We are not to seek answers. We are to seek God. We are not to seek for that thing that we don't have yet. Seek God. That's what we're supposed to do. Just seek God. Why? Because in him's all the answers. In him is the direction. In God is everything that we need. Either the Bible is true or it's not true. But Christians have to come to this kind of a come to Jesus moment for Christians. They need to come to some realization because the way most people look at God in the world, they don't believe this scripture. They don't believe what's written here. And they will never see God's glory because they don't believe it. You can't see it without believing it. You have to believe it first. And what they're doing is they're saying that, you know, they will come up with excuses why healing isn't for today, or they'll come up with excuses why the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for today, or they'll come up with excuses why God wants you poor. They'll come up with all kinds of reasons for it, but none of them will be found in Scripture. None of them will be based in Word. They will all be based in emotions or things that they don't have. And the reason that they believe those things is because they're not seeing God's glory. In God's glory is everything we need. There is no other reason why God would explain what his glory is. And we're going to get into this maybe tonight if I can get there, but we're going to see that God's glory did something very real. Amen? There are things that come out of God's glory that just happen. You know, one of the things is the Aaron's rod that budded. It had a leaf or whatever come out of it that grew out of it. That thing remained, as long as it was in God's presence, in the ark, it remained alive. There is no death in God's presence. Death cannot exist in God's presence. So if you need healing, you don't need, or if you're sick, you don't need healing, you need God's presence. If you want people's lives to change, you want an addiction broken, you don't need God to take the drug away. You need His presence so it pushes it out of you. Amen. If whatever you desire from God, whatever the things that you're after, all you need is God's presence. And so if you're seeking God's presence, you're seeking the right thing, and glory to God, you'll get your answer. But see, this is where so many people, they're off because they're out. The devil has got, again, chasing their tails. They're chasing that drama that just came up again in my life. Yeah. Listen, folks, I'm here too. I'm teaching you, but I'm teaching me too. Amen? Yeah. This is the truth of the word. They're chasing everything else in the world. But see, they don't see God's glory. Yeah. We need to get to that place where we're seeing God's glory. Because if we can't see God's glory, we can't reflect God's glory. Yeah. And if we're not reflecting God's glory, then no one else is going to see it either. See, the world is drawn to the church by the glory. You know what brought people to Jesus? It wasn't just the miracles. It wasn't just that He was doing these things. It wasn't the magic show, so to speak, if that's what you want. You know, not that Jesus was having a magic show, but you know what I mean? It wasn't that. It was the power. It was the glory of God that drew them in. What drew them to the disciples? It was the power and the glory of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
It is freedom to seek Him, the freedom not to be bogged down by the cares of life. The cares of life bog us down and they keep us from ever finding God. God has the answer. But again, He's written it in His Word. I'm not preaching to you something that is some obscure doctrine that I just made up this afternoon. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get into it today, but there's entire chapters based on this stuff about the glory of God. Amen. And we're going to see some of it from the Old Testament today. Praise the Lord. So there's a few steps to this, and I'm not normally a 1-2-3 kind of guy. Praise the Lord when I'm preaching. But there are some steps to get here. And I'm going to lay these steps out for you first. We're not going to get to them all today, but I'll lay them out for you. The first step is the hunger. We've seen that. Amen. The second step we're going to get into next is to trust. The third step is to seek. And the fourth step is to reflect. And not reflect like in your mind, like, oh, I'm going to reflect back on this day and think about it. I'm not talking about a melancholy kind of reflect. I'm talking about reflect. We need to reflect it. We need to radiate it. That's a better word, maybe. Radiate it. Amen. We need to radiate God's glory. Do you know that God... that Jesus died, what He did was so magnificent. He died so that we could reflect the very glory of God in our lives. That's what He died for. It's like salvation is such a, it's a wonderful thing, but it's such a small part of it. He died so we can reflect in our lives. People should look at our lives and go, what? Let's just be bamboozled, founded by it. They should just be like, well, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Because we are supposed to reflect. That's the way people are supposed to look at us. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
Psalm 37. My Bible almost went there because I've been there so much. My Bible almost went there by itself. Psalm 37, verse 3. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I bet you we got a little girl in here who could recite this for you. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 3. What's it say here? Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. That phrase, trust in the Lord, is so incredibly important. This is something that we should reflect on. This is why people don't see what they want to see. This is what people don't get into, what God has for them. Because they don't truly trust God. See, trusting in God is more than just saying that you trust God. Trusting in God is saying, you know what? I trust you, Lord. You know the trust, you remember the trust game that they play in some kind of team building stuff where you fall backwards, and if you trust somebody, you know, you'll fall backwards and they'll catch you, amen? But see, a lot of people do that with God, but they're like, I don't know if I want to fall. See, God's going to ask you a lot of things. He's going to put a lot of things before you that will test you, that will test your that will test your faith, that will test your faithfulness, that will test your, I love using this example, and I'm not using it just to throw out, I'm just trying to help you, but tithing is all about trust.
Oh, yeah.
God doesn't need your money. It's all his anyways. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need you to fund his church. That would actually kind of upend and uproot a lot of things that people teach, including myself. Not in the sense that I teach opposite of this, because I don't. But God doesn't need you to fund the church. He needs you to be faithful so you can exhibit his glory. Amen. It's all about trusting God. It's about, you know what? The phrase, putting your money where your mouth is, kind of thing. That's what it's all about. Believing God to get you through something, to not be chasing your tail, to not be caught up in the rat race, so to speak. It's all about trusting God. It's all about trusting God. When we say we can't, we say we don't trust God. When we say I don't think it'll ever happen, we say we don't trust God. How do I know this? Because that's what the Bible tells us. Amen. The Bible always directs us towards the truth, or in the truth, because it is the truth. Praise the Lord. Trust the Lord and do good. People don't do good because they don't trust God. Well, I wanted to do this, Pastor. I really did, but I just couldn't. I really wanted to help that person, but I just couldn't. You don't trust. See, when you trust, you can do all things because God gives you the ability to do so. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of us didn't come into this when we were fresh babies. Some of us, it took a while to get this word to us. And so that's why God is patient with us. That's why God bears with us. That's why God still blesses us even when we're idiots. Amen? Because he knows that we haven't all been taught this right from the get-go. But but at some point, we have the responsibility to get in line with God's word and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust you. When it says this, I'm just going to trust it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And honestly, I'm going to take this a step further. And none of this was planned, but I'll take this a step further. Trusting your pastor. You have to know whether or not you can trust your pastor. You have to make that decision at some point. Because guess what? Your pastor is going to lead you, if your pastor is spiritual, which I am, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But if your pastor is spiritual, he's going to lead you and lead the church down paths that sometimes don't make a lot of sense. Didn't make sense to go start a church and Corey did it. But that doesn't matter. You have to trust it. But see, the people that trust it are the ones that connect to it. The ones who don't are the ones who didn't. Amen? Because we understand that God has placed a man or a woman in the position of pastor to lead and guide us into that truth with the Holy Spirit. He's done that with the Holy Spirit. He's very clear about that. Ephesians 4 tells us about that. Amen? And there's other places as well. But so God has given us these ministers to help guide us, to help shepherd us into the right pastures, into the right places. Amen? God is taking the church higher. It's like when God has, like, I don't just have anybody. You notice that. I know a church that has probably 20, 30 guest ministers in a year, maybe. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they do. But I don't. Why don't I? Because I have who the Lord has me to have in. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? But you know, when we have Pastor Michael in, I guarantee you that maybe up to half of our church might not even show up. Just from years past. How do I know that? You know, how do I know that'll happen? Because that's what happens. Looking around you tonight. There's obviously a whole group of people that didn't think that Tuesday night was worthy enough to come out. But see, if we understood what these services were about, no one would dare not to. See, you don't trust God if you don't come out. You don't trust God if you don't connect to the church. If you don't connect it. You see what I'm saying? I didn't connect you here. I didn't say you have to be here. But and I'm not saying that there's never a legitimate reason to miss. But I'm talking about people, you know what I'm saying. There's people that consistently, over and over and over again, they're not there. They don't trust God. They haven't got to that place. And so if you're not trusting God, you're not going to see his glory. That's all there is to it. God's doing things through his local church. All things that God does flow out of the pulpit into the people's lives to wherever he's connected, the various places he's connected to them. And then we're supposed to take that out into the community, which won't happen if people aren't doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Trust God, or trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I love this because, you know, you see dwell in the land and you think that maybe that's just that looks like a filler part of verse, doesn't it? Just like dwell in the land. Well, you're going to dwell in some land, right? But really what this is pointing to is dwell in the land where God has you. See, so many people, they'll chase jobs, and so they'll move here to there. They'll chase people, so they'll move here to there. God says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God ain't called you to bebop around. Praise the Lord. If God's called you to an area, then he'll supply you in that area. But you got to trust him, or you ain't going to see it. I said, you got to trust him, or you ain't going to see it. My pastor, I haven't really had this so much in this church yet, but my pastor has told me story after story of people who have come to him over the years. Well, we got a really good job out here. Didn't even think about the church they'd go to. We got a real good job over here, so we're going to have to move. See ya. And they knew that they were connected. See, God will supply you where you're at. God has never called us to move for a job. He's never called us to move seeking something greater unless he's told us to. And there are times where God does move people, but those don't happen as often as God has you planted. Right. Why? Because God does what he wants to do where he wants to do it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's the purpose of it. Amen? You know, some people have asked us why we don't try to have a Sunday service in Corey, because God hasn't called me to do that yet. If God said to me, go have a Sunday service in Corey, guess what we'd be doing this week? We'd have a Sunday service in Corey. We'd figure it out. God would supply it. We'd have to do that. But that's what he said. We got the direction to have us. When I say he said, it's not always completely like God isn't coming down from heaven every day and saying, all right, Pastor Jeff, this is your direction for today. You understand? I follow his spirit. You know what I mean? And so we learn to follow his spirit. We get acquainted with his spirit. And it would be confirmed through other men and women of God who are faithful. Praise the Lord. So dwell in the land means to be where you're at and know where God has you. To know where God has you to be. But then be there. Be there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say the same thing about church. People, I don't tell anybody that they got to come to this church. But once you know you're in this church, I'm going to give you some advice that will help you flourish, because that's what I want. I preach the word because I want people to flourish. I preach it mostly because God wants me to. Amen. That's his direction. But I want people to flourish by hearing his word. Amen. And so that's why I preach the word, even when it's hard, because I'm going to tell you, it's not easy when you preach things over and over again that people don't like. Amen. When you come at people the same thing and you know that they don't like it, but you know it's what they need to step up higher. It's not easy to do that because people don't like that. It's a lot easier when you preach people, if I just had church there, I tell you what, I could grow this church real quick if I just started telling people all the time, constantly, all the time, never say anything bad, just say, God loves you just the way you are. You just come as you are and God won't make you change, and you just come here and we'll hug you and love you. That's great. I love hugging and loving on people. Amen. That's one of the things I happen to like to do. But I'm just going to tell you that won't change your life. It won't help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, I can't stand that you got me here. I can't stand that this is where I got to be. Why do I got to be here? Why do I got to do this? Da, 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 da. Delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, whatever you have for me is great. Whatever you have for me, I'll do it. Lord, you wanna start 15 more churches? God, I'll be part of it, because that's what you have to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you know God preserves those who are effective Christians? Do you know that? There are people. There's countless stories of people who should have been dead, but were preserved because they were faithful to God in his work, what he was doing. Faithful to God. Amen. Should have been dead. But God has preserved them because they're tithers, because they're givers, because they're helpers, because they're hungry, because they want God's glory, because they want to promote the gospel and they don't care so much about, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. God will preserve them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall, look at this, he shall give you the desires of your heart. That goes back to trusting God. If I give this up, man, if I make my kids give up that sport because we got to be in church, I don't know. I don't know if they'll be happy. You got to delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll make you, he will make you to that place. Listen, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not saying kids can't do sports. You understand that. We have kids in here that do sports. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about things that take people away from the work of God or make them focus on something, everything other than God. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be a job. It could be a project. It could be your house. Amen. It could be your car. It could be whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God wants you to have the desires of your heart, but you've got to trust him with it. Amen? Commit your way to the Lord. See, my daughter and I read these scriptures every day because we remind ourselves of this. Commit your way to the Lord. Lord, what I'm doing today, I'm following you the best that I can. Yeah. I don't care what's at the end of it. I know it's a blessing. I know it's after you, but I'm just committing my way to you. Everything I do, everything I'm after, praise the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. We see that phrase again. And what does it say here? He shall bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? God will. See, you trying to make it come to pass. God said, you trust me. You commit it to me. You trust me. I'll make it come to pass. In fact, the only way, the Bible says, unless the Lord, Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know what that means? They ain't talking about houses. They're talking about life. They're talking about the process, the everything. Unless God builds it, they labor in vain to build it. They labor in vain. If we started a church because we wanted to, we're laboring in vain. Just because there's a need in a town, there's needs in lots of towns, but I ain't called there yet. Amen? Why am I not called there yet? Because God hasn't built that house yet. He's not trying to. Amen? They labor in vain to build it. See, we're trying to do things. We're trying to do all God's part. And God said, just trust me, commit your way to me, and I'll make it happen. Amen? He shall bring it to pass. God will. Amen? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why do I say all this? Because you can never experience God's glory unless you have wholehearted trust in God. I have not stepped into God's glory yet. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've been on the outside. I maybe even dipped a toe in it once in a while. You know what I'm saying? But I haven't seen, like, the glory of God. Like, just thinking about it today was just like, oh, it was just stirring me up. Like, I want that. I'll put down whatever, God, whatever it is. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, this is going to be something, this is anyone else's direction, but this is just an example. I love to eat. Today, I didn't have lunch because I wanted to get more into that. You understand what I mean? Like sometimes you just, even little things, you just put it down. Not because you're trying to do some kind of religious duty or something like that, but you're just like, I want to be after it more. I need more of it. You know what I mean? That's what it means to hunger and thirst is that you'll do what you have to do to get there. Sometimes, you know, there'll be projects and stuff like that, and it'll take more concentration. It'll take more of our resources, our financial resources, our physical resources, you know, but the church needs to come together and get done what God wants done. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this. Jamestown is a church. You know, of course, we came out of there. Jamestown has been built wonderfully by Pastor Tim, my pastor. And, you know, the church is flourishing. It's in its like 13th year or something, like 14th year or something like that. Yeah, but at any rate, it's a bunch of years it's been there now. And so they're a lot farther ahead than we are, amen? But, you know, Pastor Tim was telling me, he's like, this year has been so good for the church. It's been the best year financially for the church. People have increased more this year in the church, and that's part of the why that's best year financially for the church. Because people, like, businesses are flourishing. People are getting blessed left and right. But see, that doesn't happen overnight. That's something that's built. You understand? And so the people that are connected there, there's people that are coming in now, they're getting blessed just because of the momentum that's already started. Well, that's what we're doing here. Amen. We're starting the momentum, but you wait and see. Like, this is not what God has for us. This is what he has for us now, but this isn't the end of it. I'm just telling you. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've already seen another building. I'll just tell you the truth. So if you don't like that we always have projects, you ain't going to like this church. Because I'm telling you, the next building, it's a lot bigger, and it's a lot more expensive than this one is. Amen? But God is going to supply it, and he's going to do it through you and I. Amen? Praise the Lord. And others, too, but primarily through us. We are doing the work of the ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen other churches. Other churches. Amen? Other towns. Praise the Lord. Guess what? It's going to require resources. Guess where the first place I'm going to? God. But then you, amen, hallelujah. Do you understand what I mean? Like that's what the ministry never stops. When the ministry stops, we might as well be dead. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're not just going to have a soup kitchen that doesn't preach to people.
I'm not against soup kitchens, but we're not just going to have some handout here to just give. No, we're going to bless people. We're going to bless people with the word. We're going to feed them with the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Exodus 33. Now, this is a real good place. This is where the Lord, actually, the scriptures that I'm going to preach on next time in the New Testament are, they're like the New Testament version of these scriptures, I guess is a good way to put it. Amen. But we're going to see here, I love this. You know, Moses is hailed as one of the greatest prophets, and it's because of his hunger and his desire for God. You know, it was just unmatched. Moses just wanted God. You know, he wanted God so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God used him. Actually, you know, he said that he spoke to Moses face to face. Hallelujah. He didn't say that about every prophet. He didn't say that about everybody. But he spoke with Moses face to face. Amen. That's pretty exciting. But let's look at here, chapter 33, verse 12. We'll read through 23 here. Praise the Lord. And I love this here because in the title of this section of scripture in my Bible says, the promise of God's presence. Amen? The promise of God's presence. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, because this is where God wants to bring, or God's bringing his people out of the wilderness, amen? And he's about to take them into the promised land, all that stuff, amen? And then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. So God had told Moses that I know you, I know who you are. You know, basically, I know you by name means like, I know you, man. You know what I mean? That's what it's saying. Like I know all about you, and you have found grace in my sight. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, I would love to hear that from God himself. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, I pray, this is Moses, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and I might find grace in your sight. And consider this, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. God said that. And I will give you rest. Look at what he says here. The first thing he says to Moses, he says, my presence can go with you. And what comes out of his presence? Rest. You know just as well as I do what rest is. Rest is peace. That's what we've been preaching on. There's a reason they've been preaching on it. The presence of God, it causes peace and rest. All the turmoil, trial, all those things are all to rob that right there. That thing. That's what trial comes for. You understand? The trial isn't because you are so special. You are special. You're special to me. You're special to God. But the devil, you're not special to him. You know that. He just wants to rob you. That's all he wants to do. He didn't care. He wants to rob you. The devil's a thief. You know, a thief, when they're breaking into your house, they don't care who you are. They don't think about your stuff. They don't think that you have a family. They don't think that you worked for it. They don't care about any of that, right? You're not special to them. And that's exactly what you are to the devil. You're not special to him. And he's trying to steal one thing, and he's trying to steal your rest. He's trying to steal your peace because he knows that that is a place that speaks to you. He knows that in the presence, if you are in the presence of God, that you cannot be out of rest. And so if you're out of rest, you can't be in the presence of God. See those two things? It's like a pendulum, right? If it's one way, it's not the other. If it's one the other way, then it's not the one way. Amen? If the devil, that's why the devil causes trial. Because it's not about one. Because look at the trials. I mean, one person deals with sickness. One person deals with poverty. One person deals with a bad relationship. One person deals with, horrible children. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's got something they deal with, right? Everybody's struggle is something different. Amen? The devil doesn't care. He's just throwing things out there and seeing what you're going to take. Seeing what bait you're going to bite, what trap he can get you in, because all of it does the same thing. It gets you to the place where you can't rest. If you can't rest, then you can't see that you can't be in the presence of God. He knows that. That's what he's trying to stop. Guess what else is in God's presence? His glory. His glory is his magnificence. It is that bright shining light. It is that you know, when you walk into if you walk into like a really nice, we were down in Disney, amen, one year, and we went to Disney and we went into the, what was that one really fancy one that we walked into?
The Grand Floridian.
Where the Grand Floridian, where they're playing the piano and all this, just beautiful. I mean, and you just walk in there and you just like, wow. You know what I mean? When you walk into a place like that, you know, there's at least a moment in time where you don't think about anything else. You're just like awestruck by everything. Do you know that's not even a drop of what God is? His glory is like, I mean, His glory makes it. I mean, think about this. When you walk into the temple, the Old Testament temple, and the walls, imagine coming in. People come in here, they say, man, this is a really nice church. But imagine they come in here and all these walls were sheeted with gold. I mean, people would come in and they'd be like, wow. We saw a toilet that was covered in 24 karat gold in an art museum. Not kidding you. It was made out of 24. Now, it wasn't, I think it was coated. Or you know, it wouldn't have been solid gold. It couldn't have been. Nobody could have afforded that, though. Like that's a lot of gold. But it was coated in 24 karat gold. It had its own little room on this ramp, right? Own little room, just a little bathroom. I don't even think there was a sink in there, was there? No sink, just the toilet. That was all it was. It was a working toilet made out of 24 karat gold. Do you know that there was a line of people waiting to use this toilet? There was a line. They had a line there, and the whole purpose, and this was part of the art installation or whatever it was, but people just to sit on a 24 karat gold toilet. You know what I'm saying? That's to use it. That's what they were waiting for. They weren't waiting to just, you know, maybe they wanted a selfie with it. I don't know. But the point was, is it was a working toilet. That's what people were using. A little bit gross. They had a hand sanitizer on the outside, and a guard. Yeah, and a guard sitting there waiting for you. Can you imagine like having a bathroom just like this big, and you're in there, and it's like you open the door, and there's people right there waiting for you. Everybody's waiting for you. They're watching you, waiting for you to get done using the toilet. But people are lined up to do that for a toilet because it was gold. Yeah. Imagine that with a temple. Imagine that with a, you know, that's the point that I'm trying to say. Yeah. God's presence is the glory of God, the magnificence. That's true magnificence. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it's what draws people in. You know, the gold toilet, for whatever reason, drew people in. I didn't wait to use it. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Glory to God. But, you know, it draws people in. It draws you in. There's in God's presence, there is no sadness. There is no being upset. There's no, you know, everything is good while you're there. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why the devil's trying to rob that. Because that's a true place of ultimate, like, faith. And that's the answer to everything. That's the peace, the rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where was I? Verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Wow. He's just double. He's like, listen, I ain't going anywhere without your presence. That's the answer to a lot of us, for a lot of us right now. Listen, I ain't going, God, without your presence. I ain't doing this thing without your presence. You know, what the problem is, a lot of people, they're seeking God's presence, they're seeking God's hand. See, Moses didn't care about his hand. He knew that if God's presence was there, his hand came with it. Yeah. Amen? But see, what so many people are seeing, they're just like, give me that freebie. Give me that handout. I mean, look at what's going on in our society today. Look what they're building. Like, whole, like, factions of people are being built under this guise of, what can I give you free? Free. Just what handout can you have? Do you understand that all that is to distract people from God? Because God has promised everything. But if you don't trust God, you'll trust that. See, there's lots of Christians that don't trust God. They trust that. And so that's why they flock over all that. And then in the meantime, they're killing babies in the background. They don't even think about it. Praise the Lord. They're trying to tear people's lives apart. You don't even think about it. Just as long as I get my freebie. You understand, it's not a political thing. What I'm saying is that God wants to be our supply. That's who He is. Amen? But He can't be our supply if we're allowing our supply to be something, if we're, as they say in religious circles, if we're substituting brass, gold for brass, or brass for gold, amen? If we're saying, oh, brass is good enough, you know what I mean? You're not going to have God's presence. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're saying it's good enough if I just go to church once a week and I can go about my life doing my thing, then they're like, they will never know God's presence, not true presence. They'll never know His glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. He said, I ain't going without your presence. Amen? We need to say the same thing. For how then will it be known? Look at this.
Because this is what's known in his presence. You know, his presence is his glory. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. We need to look differently. Do you see this here? We need to be different. We need to look different. We need to act different. We need to live different. Amen? So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Do you know who else has found grace in his sight? Those who have accepted Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. Those who are born again under the new covenant. Praise God. We're not going to get into it all today, but glory to God, that's you and I. Amen? But not if we substitute the brass for the gold. He said, my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Moses said that. Please show me your glory. He's found grace in his sight. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my see me and live. Amen? Now, you know, there's a lot to that, and I understand that we talk about he spoke to Moses face to face. But that, you know, that concept is that he communed with him. It wasn't that he was actually, if we visibly saw, like, looked into the face of God right now, we would expire instantly because of the flesh, because sin can't be in his presence. You understand? We'd be taken away. Praise the Lord. And we'll see this. We're going to see some more of this here in a minute. Praise the Lord. And he said, you cannot see my face. No man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Praise the Lord. Now think of, man, this is pretty odd. I don't know about you, but this kind of, whoo, man, this is one of those things in Scripture I just, like, I get pumped about. Man, I know I'm the time and stuff, but you know, God put Moses on a rock in a mountain. He said, I'm going to walk by you. Man, he said, I'm going to walk by you, and you get to look at my back. Oh, glory to God. I'd do anything to look at God's back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God to have God set me in a rock, and, you know, he's talking to him the whole time, amen. Praise the Lord. So you're there. Now go to chapter 34. It's right next door. Amen. And go way down to 29. In the next scriptures in between what we just read, God's given Moses the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. Amen. And that's exciting. But now we see, now we're going to see Moses when he comes down off the mountain. Amen. Look at this. Verse 29. It says, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and that the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, that's the Ten Commandments, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. See, in the presence of God, things change. The glory of God got all over Moses, and his face was lit up. Praise the Lord. You know, God is light, right? Praise the Lord. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. They were afraid to approach. See, because when, see, that's the thing. Sin can't approach light. Darkness can't approach light. Bible says that darkness can't comprehend light. It flees away from light. That's why when you turn on light in a room, darkness goes, whoosh, it's gone. Amen? Praise the Lord. You take out the light and darkness comes back. It's the same thing. Amen? And so it's the same thing with people. What do your enemies need? They need to see some glory. Because they see the glory on you, they're going to flee. They ain't going to stick around. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't know why. I just don't want anything to do with it. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked to them. Afterwards, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak to him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone,
Then Moses would put on the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him, with God. Amen. And so we see the glory of God. Now this veil and stuff is important. This is important for us to understand because we're going to get into this later on down the road. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I need to share this with you. So I pray that you forgive me for going a little bit long here. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians, real quick, I'm going to flip there. You can get there if you can get there quick. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Amen. We're not going to go into the New Testament stuff about the veil and the light and stuff, the glory today. But we're going to see something else. Because this is some other stuff that the Lord spoke to me in line with this. Verse 26, it says, For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Yeah. God does not want the glory to be on flesh. And so that's why he picks people like me. That's why he takes people like me out of the gutter and will use me and you, praise the Lord. I'm not saying you're in the gutter. I'm not saying that you're low, but I'm just saying you didn't think God would use you. And this is the irony of that, if that's what it is, I guess. But that's like the complete opposite of what God actually intended. He uses, you think you're not able? God uses that. Yeah. He likes to use that. In fact, that's what he uses. Yeah. He uses the not able. He uses the ones who can't. He uses the ones who can't afford to fund the work of God. You know why? Because it's God's glory then. It's not, like, listen, it wouldn't glorify God if Bill Gates came in here and paid off the church. He can do that if he wants, but it would take, you know, it shouldn't take a load off my mind. That's the truth. That's correction. I'll give you that correction. He doesn't use that because that doesn't give him glory. It doesn't give him, what gives him glory is when somebody who can't, when the widow puts in the two mites and changes the entire course of humanity by two mites, that's what blesses the Lord. Now, he promises to back that up and take care of us too. But you understand, we will climb out of that hole we're in. Yeah. But this is what God spoke to me this afternoon. God has chosen Mayville to reflect his glory. Wow. He has chosen Mayville to reflect his glory. And if he's chosen Mayville, praise the Lord, and he meant the Christian community, and primarily what it's talking about is those who will follow God and his spirit. And we understand that's Family Church Mayville, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord, to reflect his glory. God has chosen this church and all those who are in it and all those who will connect to reflect his glory. But we have to desire it. We have to walk in it. We have to say, you know what? The way that it was doesn't matter anymore because I'm beyond that, amen? Praise the Lord. God has chosen Mayville to reflect. Remember when I spoke to you, it came out of my spirit that one day I was praying and I spoke out amazing miracles in Mayville. God has chosen Mayville to reflect his glory. He's chosen you and I to reflect his glory. You think, well, who am I? Maybe I don't come from much. Maybe I don't have much to offer. Yes, you do. You have everything to offer when you offer according to what the Lord will have you do. When you seek God, when you seek his glory, when you come here and you say, you know what? I'm going to desire God greater than anything else. I'm after God more than anything else. Praise the Lord. I want to share one other scripture with you. I'm just going to have to pull it up here. You've heard the scripture before. I've read it before, but we're going to read it again. Second Chronicles 7:14 through 16. God said, if my people who are called by my name, is there anybody in here that is God's people called by his name? Praise the Lord. Will humble themselves. You know what humble means? It means to put yourself down. It means like I'm going to take the opposite of humble is self-exaltation. Self-exaltation comes in many forms, but one of those forms is get me mine first. That's self-exaltation. That's not being humble. Doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with your financial state. It has everything to do with I want what I want first. That is the opposite of being humble. Amen. And so God said, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves. Look it. Many people are God's people. Many are called by his name. But there's only some that are going to get into stuff. And those are the ones that humble themselves and say, you know what? God's first. Amen? God first. That should be our new logo. God first. Amen? Praise the Lord.
and pray. That's a big thing. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Seek God. Seek my face. Pray, pray to God. Seek his face. Pray to God. Get to God before prayer. And stop asking God for everything that you want, everything that you need. And just say, Lord, I believe you that you'll take care of that stuff. I believe you're bringing that stuff. Listen, we can bring stuff to God, but if there's, the Bible says to do that. And so there's times where, you know what, Lord, this is what I need. I put it before you. I thank you. I got it. Amen. That's where it ends. Yep. Last time. That's it. You ain't got to sit there worrying about it and fretting about it, because that's not the way that God works. God works through us believing him and then saying, now what I'm going to spend my prayer time doing is seeking God's face. I want his presence. I want his glory. I want to get into a place that other Christians don't get to get into. I want to get into places that other churches aren't getting into. Amen. Pray and seek my face. Look at this. If they'll humble themselves, they'll pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wicked ways are not necessarily just out there murdering people. Wicked ways are doing things that are not in line with what God has called you to do. Yeah. Amen? They'll turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will what? I will heal their land. Amen? But now it goes on. Verse 15 says, now after all that, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in that place. These are people that can get to go to God and pray, and then it happens. This is why Jesus could pray that the dead would rise, and guess what happened? The dead rose. It didn't hesitate, didn't wait. Why? Because there was somebody who was in God's presence. There was somebody who was after the glory of God and not after his own way. There was somebody that was living for God and not themselves. There was somebody who humbled themselves, which is exactly what we know Jesus did. And he prayed and he sought God. He prayed and he sought God. And he said, I only do what I see the Father do. I don't do what I want to do. I only do what I see the Father do. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. What place? How about Mayville? How about in that church, praise the Lord, that goofy church down the road, you know, people are saying, you know, people are talking about it, and I love that people are talking about it. It's creating a stir. We need more people to come in and find out about the presence and glory. But how about when people come in here and they can't deny the presence and the glory of God? When they come in here and they think, whoa, there is something different in here, and I haven't even heard a word preached yet, praise the Lord. How about when they're driving by and they're drawn in, there's something going on here, and I got to get in there, amen? This is what's happening, praise the Lord. In verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, praise the Lord, that my name may be there forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. God will not forget about us. He will not leave us. God's presence will fill us and it will continue to fill us. And there will be no depression. There will be no sadness. There will be no lack. There will be no loss. There will be everything will be pushing into the presence of God and desiring his glory. Hallelujah. So I'm asking people to spend time seeking him. Don't dwell on your stuff anymore. The devil will always try to distract you. And I'm going to tell you after this message, he's going to try to distract you with something. Yeah. But you trust God. Remember, we read that, trust God. You say, you know what? No, God is taking care of this. I believe him, and that's where I left it. I'm not going to sit there thinking about it because it's not mine to think about. The devil will try to remind you of it. You've got to speak to him, and you've got to say, no, I am seeking after God's glory. I don't care about that. I, you know, praise the Lord. I'm taken care of. My house is full. Everything that we have, all our needs are supplied. I'm after God's glory. I'm not seeking anything else. Praise the Lord. I'm not praying for a whole bunch of other things. I want God's glory in this house. Amen. I want God's glory in your lives. I want to see it reflected in your lives, because that's the place that that cannot be denied. You cannot deny. They could not deny. When Moses came down out of the mountain, they could not deny that the light was shining off of his face. They could not deny that he had been in the presence of God, because they saw it all over them and they were scared, but they saw it all over. They could not deny it. I want the power of God undeniable. I want the presence of God undeniable. I want to see it on your face. I want you to see it on my face, and we need to let everybody else see it. God wants to do things in Mayville. I'm telling you, he doesn't have us here to mess around. He doesn't have us here to play church. He has us here to change the world. Hallelujah. And he's going to do it right here from this spot, right here across Lake 65, Westlake Road. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's glory is resting on this place, and it's going to fill this place. Praise the Lord. But I'm asking you as the faithful of the church. You came out tonight. Praise the Lord. You listened to me preach for quite a while. Praise God. Hallelujah. Seek after God. Just get before him and just say, you know what? I just want more of God.
I just want more of you, Lord. I just want your glory. I desire your glory. Start stirring yourself. Stir your friends. Stir your neighbors. Stir each other. Praise the Lord. We're seeing the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that's where I'm going to end. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's most of it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God is so good. We're going to spend time seeking Him. We're going to spend time seeking His Spirit, to know His Spirit. We don't want the fake. We want the real. Amen. Praise the Lord.